How many of you had a busy week this week? God, don't lie. Raise your hand if you've had a busy week. Let everyone see that everyone has busy weeks. You got a lot going on, right? A lot going on. I was just talking with Quentin and been a busy week. Quentin's like, what? Don't say nothing to me. What? Do you have room for me to add something else to your life? You do? I don't want nothing to add to my life right now because it is extremely busy. But when I say outreach, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? See, for most... All right, I'm done. That's it. That's it. Hey, the message is done. You know what? Honestly, we don't even think about the act of outreach. Most times we think about why we can't do outreach. That's the sad part. If we're honest, because I do, somebody says we're going to do something, I'm like, oh, okay, what do I not have to do to be able to do that, right? Because our schedules are so full. Things like, oh no, just that's just more stuff. How about this? I don't feel called to that ministry. I can't talk to that person. God didn't give me that gift. That's a lie, but we use it. You know, I'd love to help out with that, but my schedule says this. Seems like all that church wants to do is give my money, take my time, all of this, right? All these things run through our head. Most, if we're honest, that runs through our head more than the actual outreach that we've got planned. See, last week we celebrated something incredible for the Christian church, for the world. The unfortunate part is they don't know it yet. See, for most of the world, they celebrated bunnies and they celebrated eggs, and or for that minority part of a population, they tried to destroy what God built. But for us, it was glorious. See, Jesus did something no other human in history had ever accomplished. A lot of people died on the cross. None died for your sins, but a lot of people died on the cross. Nobody in the history of history ever 3 days later came back out again. Yet he did. See, why? Why? Couldn't a God just look down and said, you know what, boom, ask for forgiveness, I'll give it to you, it's done, done. But no, see, sacrifice has to be made. Blood had to be spilt. The cross forgave our sins, if we ask it. That's, we go to the cross and we leave it there. But coming out of a tomb secured eternity. Because see, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if he stayed in the grave, that would have been the place. But he came out and he went and he prepared a place. See, I'm going somewhere with outreach with this, so I love that everybody's like, yes, all right, because we're going somewhere. See, do you know God created everything in this world for your enjoyment? Not for His. He's God. He don't need this. God is fully satisfied within Himself. He created it for you and for me. Everything. Everything that we see. And He did it for a purpose, so that He could do life with us. So that He could walk with us and talk with us and share with us. So He could teach us. And so He could give and receive love with us. That's why it's here. The garden was perfect and we jacked it up, so we're out here now. But we looked at some, one of our lessons from the series from the cross. One day we'll be back to the garden. But right now, He wants to live with you. He still wants that right now. Here's the thing. We get disconnected from our purpose. We get busy, right? That's why I asked the question in the beginning. How many of you are busy? We get disconnected from our purpose. The reason the church exists is not so you can have a place to come to on Sunday morning. That's not the reason the church exists. The church exists for everything outside these walls. See, we fellowship. We can fellowship anywhere. It's nice to have a place. It's nice to have a set time that we know every week I get to go and hang out with my family. And I get to talk and catch up. I get to learn about Christ. That's what life groups are for, is digging deeper. Then I get to come up here and hang out with you guys, and we get to lift our voices, and then we get to hear somebody open up the Bible and bring a message. And that unites us, but it's not for here. It's so that when you go out those doors today, you're ready for them. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. See, work, bills, children, the church, education, chores, relationships, all these things compete for our attention. They all compete for our attention. All of these things, we have thousands of things. Even while I'm speaking, you're thinking of other stuff. You're concentrating, you're doing that, but you're also got things going on in your mind like, oh, I hope he doesn't go long because I got to be somewhere after church. You know, I hope he doesn't say anything that's too bad because I don't want to really get hit in the head with anything. And then on top of that in here, we have everything competes for this. Competes to rob our minds, steal our minds, steal our thoughts, affect our decisions. And the things that we react to, if you react mostly to the drama, then guess where your heart's at? If what you react to and what you spend your money and your time and your efforts on is what's important to you. I was a youth pastor for years. Kids couldn't come to church stuff or to activities or to things we were doing because extracurricular activities other places were more important. And I'll tell you something, you could tell it in lies. It's the same way with adults, folks. The same way with adults. Where we spend our time tells us where our heart's at. It tells us the most important things. We don't want to hear it, but it is a truth. And a lot of pastors say it, and we just kind of throw it out the window. Let me look at your checkbook. I'll tell you exactly what's important to you. I will tell you exactly what's important to you. So, how do we take charge of our life? How do we take that back? How do we take that back and not lose connection with people, with God? See, it's simple. People think this is like rocket science, but it's not. Outreach is not rocket science. Discipleship is not rocket science. Church was so easy that three guys that had, you know, well, three that I know of, but guys that had absolutely no formal education could take it and blow the world up with it. Simple. Who's speaking into your life today? Is your job? Are your worries? Are your fears? Is the social media drama? Is the next big thing that's on Fox or CNN or one of those? Is that what's speaking into your life? Or is God speaking into your life? It matters. See, we have a constant battle between priorities and expectations. But if we allow God to do this, here's the amazing thing. If we take God and we put Him right in the center of everything and we plant Him here and we take His Word and we plant it here, then everything filters through Him. And guess what? He'll get rid of the stuff that's really just nonsense if we allow Him to. Problem is, we don't allow Him to. We're satisfied with calling ourselves believers and calling ourselves Christians and showing up for church. And yet as soon as we leave that door, we allow all the garbage right back in. And so our lives never change. Our lives never change. To balance your lives means to understand what and who is most important. To replace worry with prayer, insecurity with faith. It's learning to listen to the one voice that really, truly matters and can make a difference in your life, and then begin to seek God's purpose and His plan every single day. So here's the thing. I asked you how many are busy. How many of you want me to add something else to your lives? I want to talk about outreach, but I don't want you to add anything to your life. I don't want you to add anything. I don't want you to do anything. See, either Pastor Wayne right now just said the dumbest thing, or he's setting you up for something. And believe me, I've said a whole lot dumber things. If you know me, that ain't nowhere near the dumbest thing I ever said. The only thing I'm setting you up for is to understand what outreach is. That's it. See, we do all kinds of things. Get it? Do. All kinds of things. We call it outreach. Doing things is important. But doing things is not outreach. See, the church has combined service with outreach. And we said, everything that is outreach has to be service. We're doing a great thing next week. I love it. We're going to a veterans home and we're going to feed people. But that's not really outreach, that's service. We're going to serve a need in a community that can't meet that need on their own. That's service. But it's not outreach. See, we can feed the poor. We can pay for somebody's food or groceries at the store. We can do different work days in all the neighborhoods around the church. We can set up barbecues at stores and parks. And though all of these will have an aspect of outreach to them, it's not biblical outreach that's defined in Scripture. Show me one place in Scripture where they went to the park, to the local park in Jerusalem, set up a barbecue. Now, they did service. They took care of widows and the orphans. They fed the poor. But that was service. And we do that because we love people like God loves us and God takes care of us. So we take care of people. That's service. That's service. See, here in just a second, I'm going to be in Luke chapter 4 for a second. So, if you want to get to Luke chapter 4, we're going to be in verses 18 and 19. We do all kinds of stuff. And yet, if we are to follow Jesus, then outreach needs to be what Jesus did, right? The church can do all these other things, and that's great. Jesus told the disciples to take all this food. He said, you feed them. We ain't got it. Okay, I'll provide it, but you feed them. But see, that was service for them. They performed service. Jesus walked into a synagogue during service. He picked up the scroll. This is my scroll. He picked up a scroll, and he opened it up to Isaiah. We say chapter 61, but in the scroll, there are no chapters. Just so you know, we did that. Like, nice to have a little address to turn to, right? So, he turns to what we call Isaiah 61, and he starts. And the cool thing is it's recorded right over in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. He says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's outreach. And then it sat down, he says it sat down when he was done. Sat down and he said, today, right here in this very moment, this scripture is brought to life right before your eyes. Getting all goosebumps. Could you imagine Jesus walking into this door, walking up here and taking my Bible out of my hand and reading that verse to you and saying, today, this scripture is fulfilled in front of your eyes? We'd think he was nuts. We'd think he was nuts. Luke records an incident where Paul and Barnabas, it happened in Antioch. In Acts 13, after a message was rejected by the Jewish people, they turned the gospel to non-believers. Acts 13:47 says, for the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles. Gentiles just means non-Jewish. Not a big word, just non-Jewish. That you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. That's outreach. When we turn our attention away from us, and we turn it to the world, that's outreach. It's simple. It's not rocket science. It's simple. We have to unclog our mind of what we think. See, the word outreach, look in your Bible, look in, do word studies, whatever, you'll never find it in the Bible. Now, there's words that are associated with outreach. And we need to look at those words to see what outreach is. See, it comes from a concept, euangelios. I'm going to get that wrong. I'll butcher it. I can't get the all the weird sound words to come out of my mouth. But see, we get our word evangelized from that. You know what an evangel was back then? Don't go off of the logo of it. Well, you can a little bit, but don't go off the logo at Evangel College, because that's not really what an evangel was. Evangel was a swift runner that brought good news. If you were an evangel, if that was your job, you were a runner at the front lines that ran back to tell the city, we just whipped them. They would evangelize politicians back then. When the politician came to power, when the person came to power, when a person won an election, it was good news. They were the ones who went out and announced weddings. The birth of a son or a daughter. That's what an evangel was. An evangel was a crier of good news that went somewhere else to tell that news. I'm not an evangelist today. See, an evangelist goes. An evangelist tells people who don't know that something beautiful has happened. The news is urgent. The news is joyful. The events were good news. If that's the case, if a king coming to power, if a war being won, if a baby being born is good news, how much better is the gospel? How much better is the gospel? You can't compare it. I love my granddaughter to death. I will fight anyone in here, one-on-one or all at once, for my daughter, my granddaughter. But you know what? Even as much as that is, that ought to be a drop in the bucket for what I would do for my Lord. Because see, if I get that right, He'll take care of my granddaughter. He'll take care of her. The next word is splachnidzoima. Sounds Russian, right? It's not. It's Greek. Means to show compassion. To show compassion. It's an ugly-looking word with a beautiful meaning. And it's that ugly word that's at the heart of all outreach. I feel compassion for people that don't have enough to eat, but I can feed them. At service. When I truly have compassion for you, I want to reconnect you to the one that created you. And that's outreach. See, it's kind of weird, right? We say we love you with all of our heart. It's kind of gross, but the splachna, which comes from that word, for a Greek, the heart wasn't the seat of your emotions. It was your bowels. Kind of gross, right? I told you. We say I love you from all their heart. They say splachna, which means I love you from the deepest part of my bowels. I'm like, you know, thank you. I'd rather be single. I appreciate it. But that's how much, go into the darkest part of who you are and love someone from there. Because it's easy for me to love you from out here, from superficial me. But go to the deepest, darkest, foulest places within our bodies and love someone from there. To them, it was an extreme moving of compassion, that word was. Every time you want to get Splachna, every time that verb is used in the New Testament, it refers to Jesus or spoken by Jesus. It's either describes Jesus or it's used by Him in a parable. The forgiving Master, compassion. See, not only did I forgive you from something, but dude, my forgiveness and my compassion for you are so deep, it comes from the darkest place it could ever come from, and yet it flows out into the most beautiful thing you'll ever know. The forgiving Master, the Good Samaritan, the prodigal father. Do we love people like the prodigal father? Or do we just, in passing, kind of say a prayer? See, Jesus taught. He saw people lost without a shepherd. And it says He was moved with compassion to His bowels. He was moved. Because of that compassion, He taught them. Mark 6. It's the same compassion that asks us to go out into the harvest because there are no workers. Matthew 9. That same compassion that drove Him to tell His people, do you see this? Take this. Take this splachna and get out there and have compassion. The heart of outreach is our compassion for those who don't know Jesus. The third word is zodo, and it means to save. See, we proclaim Him. We get out there and we proclaim Him. Something beautiful's happened. You don't understand. It's amazing. It's amazing. No, I'll get to my granddaughter's birth in a minute. Hold on, I need to tell you this. And it's with compassion, and we look at Him and we don't say, you better turn to Jesus or so help me, I'm going to kick you right in the face. It's not compassion, folks. Something beautiful has happened, and I love you. It's affected me so deeply from in here that I have to get it out here. And then we get to Zodo, and it means to save. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. In everyday Greek, Zodo just meant make whole. It meant heal. Jesus wants to heal you. He wants to make whole that relationship. When in the Bible, Jairus' daughter was dying, he pleaded with Jesus to come and to put His hands on her so that she would be healed. It's that same way. She would be healed and live. Zodo. Be healed and live. When Jesus said, your faith has made you whole, it is your faith in me that has made you whole, and now you'll live. It's the word Zodo. The purpose of outreach then is not to just pass out free tickets to heaven. Never has been, never will be. God wants to do more than just forgive people for being sinful. Get this, people. Get it. He wants to heal you. He wants to heal you. Where are you hurting and broken today? And He wants to heal that. You know how long it took me to get this? I'm still getting it. I'm still getting it. I beat myself up for years before I got this, before I started to see this. He wants to heal them. We bring the good news that God can heal a broken, fallen world. I don't care why. That's why I reach out to the people I reach out to. That's why I love ministering to the people I do, because they need to hear that they can be healed, because they all, down to the last one of them that go there, feel broken. The sad part is a lot of the believers that are in that feel broken. I feel broken at times. And God says, I want to heal that. Yeah. And they need to hear it. And then here's the part we love. We can get into this part. Koinonia. I'll get it. I need to write these down phonetically so that I can just Fellowship. Being friends. Hanging out. Doing life. When people are harvested into God's family, they're brought into this fellowship. To the Greeks, it could be different things. It could be a business partnership. It could be a close relationship. It always described a communal society, even in business. It was a community of businessmen. A communal society, a marriage. It meant sharing life all the way down to the intimate parts of life. Do we do that? Is that our life? We come to church. We worship. Do we share intimate parts of our lives with each other? Because, see, when we do that, then all of this other stuff we've been doing, this telling people about this amazing event, the compassion, the seeking and saving and healing, it all comes together in fellowship. When we arrive here, this is where we get to enjoy outreach to each other. I get to ask you how your day went and hope, or your week went. Hopefully you'll be honest with me. Hopefully I'll be honest with you. And we can share that. We can talk things through. Church is not just a place we go. The fellowship is never inward. It must be outward. It has an aspect of sharing your faith. With each other. With each other. In Philemon, in chapter 1, they use a word, and it's a partnership in ministry. It's a partnership in the gospel. In chapter 6. In chapter 5, it's reaching out as a community to draw others into fellowship with God's family. That's outreach. Feeding people's great. All this other stuff we do is great. Don't let me downplay any of that. But that, to me, as outreach pastor, my job is not to set up barbecues. My job is to call you into this amazing thing that God calls outreach, or that we call outreach, and it has all of these things. It means you can't just do outreach if you won't talk to somebody. We talked about in class today, you know what? God's never going to call you to do something you can do on your own. Never. If you don't need Jesus to do it, it may be a good thing to do, but it's not what God has called you to do. Because, see, what God has called you to do can't be done unless He does it through you. So when you tell me you can't talk to people, I say, okay, that's cool. You know what? I don't like crowds. Kind of funny that God has me over a ministry of concerts. I could never do it without Him. The church has been given a message that is so urgent and joyful that we should desire to tell everyone the good news. The good news should move us with compassion to go out into the world, because it is dying without this news. The message that we have is not a message of condemnation. It is a message of healing. It reunites the created to the Creator. It makes them whole. The message provides a close communal family that supports each other through all of the hard garbage that we deal with during the week. That's it. That's what it is. The responsibility for the message falls on all of us who call Jesus Lord. Matthew 28 says that as we go, Jesus is going to go with us. Romans 10, 14 through 17 says, how then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him who they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? You get it? It builds. How are they going to know? They're not going to know because we gave them a sandwich. That the good news means they don't have to go life through life without their Creator. It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And see, it's not talking about pastors, people. You don't want to see my feet. You wouldn't call them beautiful. It's talking about every single one of us. How beautiful are the feet that take my message out to a place that's never heard it and share my love with them. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. They're not all going to believe you. Guess what? World said, Jesus said they hated me. They're going to hate you even worse. They hate me and they don't even know me. You're going to walk up to their face and tell them, so be ready. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Oh, they'll know that I'm a Jesus follower and they'll come up and ask me because I'm a nice person. Nope. It won't happen. It may happen once every blood moon? Let's go even more. One, we just had a pink moon. That's even worse. It'll happen every pink moon. Somebody might come up to you and go, dude, I don't understand why you're so different. I'll tell you this, I've never had anybody come up to me without me first telling them and say that to me. And I've been doing this since 1990. They have to hear. We are called to be messengers to everyone. Why? Because everyone needs to hear that Jesus is Lord. I'm going to read you something from Ezekiel. Listen to it. Let it sink in. And every time you say that you can't talk about your faith, I want these verses just to ram right back into your head. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Ezekiel's just had this. He's in the middle of a vision. He's in the middle of a visit from an angel of God. And this is what the angel says to him. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die and give you no warning, and you give no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked man from his wicked way in order to save his life, guess what? That wicked person shall die, but his iniquity, his sin, he's going to die because of that. But his blood, I'm going to require it from you. His blood I will require at your hand, but if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness or his wicked ways, he shall die for his iniquity, for his sin. But you will have delivered your soul. If they're dying and you don't tell them, they're going to die and go to hell. But guess what? When you get and you stand in front of Jesus, He's going to say, why did you die? Why did you let that person die without ever telling them? Would they have accepted me? I'm not going to tell you whether they would or not. That's not for you to know. I told you to tell them, and because you didn't, now you're answering for their blood. Why did I have to condemn one of my creations? Because you would not open your mouth. Outreach. Outreach is not hard, people. We're talking about discipleship and life group. Discipleship is not hard. It's hard when we get a wrong concept of it, or it's hard when we don't do it in the power of God. But when God says He will walk through everything with you. And guess what? You don't have to go up and put somebody on blast. You have to live your life. And when you come in contact with people, you know what? You become friends with them because they're people. And then in that, you get an opportunity to give them a reason for the joy in your heart. They don't have to ask. Because then with my friends, I get to say, you know what, dude? Last night was really bad, and so I know you think this is stupid, but I talked with Jesus. And guess what? My life is still, the same thing's still horrible happening, but right now I'm okay. You know what? I deal with anxiety is really bad, and sometimes it gets really bad, but you know what, guys? I'm okay right now because Jesus said, take my hand, and it's when I let go of His hand and I walk off on my own that everything pounds me in the head and I forget. Though that's real life. That's just living life with people. I live my life with my family and they know everything about me. I live my life with my friends and they know most things about me. When I live life with other people, they're going to know about me because I'm going to tell them. So take it back to where we started. We need to cut through the clutter. We need to cut through the white noise and filter it out that fills our lives. We need to recognize and reprioritize what we think are important. All the things that we call important one day will be gone and burned away. God's not going to care how much overtime you put in for your family. And I have to, right now, this is something I'm having to learn. God's not going to care about that. God's not going to care that you took your kids to every physical sporting activity ever possible. He's not going to care. God is not going to care. The only thing He's going to care about is what you did with His Word. The only thing that lasts for eternity is a soul. Everything else will be burnt up. When we filter our lives through Jesus, focusing on God's priority, when we begin to take this Word and plant it in our heart and live it out in our lives, then guess what? God's priorities become our priorities. Our life lines up to His life, not the opposite. You don't have to make room for Jesus anymore. You don't have to do that. Our life lines up to God's priorities, and then telling people about Jesus becomes the most important thing you could ever do. It's no longer secondary. It's no longer as hard and evil as we think it is. It becomes the most important thing in our lives at that point. And now it doesn't happen overnight. I'm not expecting everybody to go out today and light this world on fire. See, it took the 12 disciples 3 years of getting it all wrong. And they walked with Jesus. And they fought. And they argued. And they grumbled and complained and denied Him. And it was life. They lived life. It wasn't perfect. We talked about it in life group today, the very first thing that Jesus said to His disciples was, come and follow Me. Not come and do 12 steps and then I'll show you how to, you know, and from this, from these 12 steps or these, do point A, B, and C, and then automatically you're going to be this. He said, come and do life with Me, and at the end of 3 years, you're going to be like your teacher. You'll be like Me in the aspect of you will follow. And then you will lead, and others will follow. It's a process. Study God's Word every single day. See, you can't share and give an answer for something if you don't know what it says. You can't. Number two, get comfortable with telling your own story of redemption. Nothing is more powerful to somebody than to know somebody else went through the same thing and God was good with it. God was good with it. God could handle it. God didn't leave me stuck in it. We need to get comfortable with the good, the bad, the ugly, the smelly, everything of our lives, because somebody else needs to know that God can work through that. God is forgiveness. It's who He is. But people think, if God only knew what I did, well, guess what? God knows all of you don't even know. And He still wants you. Start talking to people. Get to know people. Not, hey, do you know Jesus? Today, you know, walk up to a stranger today if you died. You know where you go. I'm just curious. Build relationships. Relationships with people so that when the opportunity does come, so when the door is opened, people will listen. You're not just a salesman with an agenda, people. You are a believer who loves a holy God who's told you to follow Him. And in following Him, He's going to lead you where you're supposed to be. See, Jesus never went out of His way to go to do something somewhere else because He knew that God was leading His way on this path. He never went out of His way to go somewhere else. The time he tried to, when he said, all right, let's go. Hey, come heal my daughter. Okay, let's go. The believer was so filled with compassion, so deep in his knowledge, I don't even want to grab back there. So deep in his knowledge of Jesus that he said, you know what, you don't have to go. Just speak the words. Say zozo, zodo, and she will be healed. And I believe that. And Jesus said, dude, all right, I'm done. Build relationships. Do it while you're walking out your life. Don't be a salesman with an agenda. To get started, we're going to do something easy to get you started. Okay, we did something easy. We passed out bags, right? That's easy. The point of the thing wasn't to pass out bags to people. That stuff was gone in a moment. Okay? In fact, a lot of it may have probably been thrown away. The thing was to get your mind wrapped around the fact that outreach means you got to talk to someone. You got to talk to someone. So, if I could have, where's my guys with my cards? We're starting a thing at the Crossing Church in Tim. If you want to bring that up now, you can. Everybody get out your phones. This is one of a few times Pastor's going to tell you to get out your phone. Everybody get out your phone. So, there's a group called TrueLife.org. And guess what? They make it really simple for you. I don't know much about the church. I'm new to the church. I'm not really involved. Doesn't matter. Type in TrueLife.org. Type in TrueLife.org. You guys want to go ahead and hand those cards out? We're going to give you these are groups of five cards. Everybody take five cards, not per family, per person. Take five cards. Really simple. You know what? I don't have to have a long discussion with you at this point. That's not what we want on your first day out there. I want you to freak out and never do this again. So if you're new to this whole concept or you're not comfortable yet with the talking, that's okay. We'll get there. But right now, hey, I go to the Crossing Church. Will you take just 2 seconds, take this card, and just go to that website. Just go to that website. When they get to the website, all they have to do is see where it says the go. Yeah, find a church. Click on find a church. We don't have the fastest internet here, so we're going to try to do this right here with you guys. So you click on find a church. You can do this two ways, one of two ways. You can either put in our area code, zip code, 65803 for the church. And ours may be frozen. So 65803, or you can type in Springfield, Missouri. See, if you type in 65803, we're the second church on the list. If you type in Springfield, I think we're the third, something like that. So you type in, all they have to do, take this card, go to this website, and just type in, I guess, I think on the front, is the address on the front of the card? You don't even have to remember the zip code. The address is on the other side of the card. Type in that. It's what pops up? Who's already there? There you go. Click on the Crossing Church. Hey, there it is. See? Click on the Crossing Church. Oh my gosh. There we are. See, you don't even have to remember the church website. Because guess what? When they get there, they can click on it. Don't click on it yet. Oh, might have already done it. It's got a map to get here. It's got a little bit about what we are. It's got all of our service times. They want more information? You can scroll back up, Tim, and click on that. They can click on our website. You know what? You can get to our website from there. Click on that. You can call the church from there. They go straight to our church website. You don't have to do anything except for take the initiative to say, you know what, I don't know about this Harold thing, and I don't know about this compassion from down that deep, and I don't know about all this, but I know I love Jesus, and I know I want you to know about Him too. So will you please just take this card and click on that website? See, from there, if they got questions, they can ask us for right now. But you never know. If it's somebody that you know, they may come back to you, and then God has given you the opportunity to outreach. Outreach is the process of moving somebody from an unbeliever to a believer. That's what it is. Now, you may see the new logo. Tim, do you have that logo spread out, or is it just... Okay. You may have seen this on the Facebook page. It's just a new logo. That's all it is. There is some meaning to it. It's got our little catchphrase, where lives intersect. The little circles on the right really are nothing. They're lives intersecting. See, when you first come to be a believer, your life is jacked. If you're like me, my life was messed up. And it doesn't matter how good you think you were before. We were all equally dead. So whether you were a multiple murderer or whether you were just a good guy that never heard, God says you're dead, and the punishment is the exact same. The punishment is the exact same. So we start out as this big old jagged mess. And yet as we get closer, the circle gets a little bit cleaner. And at the end, we'll never get to perfect. If you pull that up on high def, that circle's lines are really nice and smooth. Looks really good, but it never fully closes. Because we never reach perfection. So all it is just a kind of a catchy way to do that, and it looks kind of cool. It's also a take on the Trinity cross. It's just another way. Everybody does three crosses. This is just another way. But it's just a logo. We can take that little three-circle part out. And guess what? You can put it on a shirt and somebody is going to go, hey, what's that? And you can say, you know what? Let me tell you what it is. It's a way for us to reach people. Everything we do, if it doesn't focus on reaching someone, is going to be burned up in the end. And that's all it is. It's a way to put ourselves out socially, publicly, and people say, oh, I've seen... How many of you know what the little asterisk, orange asterisk means on the back of cars? Yeah, courageous. I don't have to say anything. Everybody just knows, right? This is just us. This is our asterisk. Savannah, if you want to come up. See, none of us are exempt from this. None of us are exempt from this. Unless you're here and you're not a believer, you are exempt from what I'm about to say. But every single one of us is responsible for outreach. How beautiful are the feet of every single person who walks around and gives out my love to other people. How shall they hear unless you open your mouth? And if they don't hear, they'll never believe. Stand up and close your eyes. See, I love people. If you know me, you know I love people. I love the underground music community because I was part of that community. And I know that the vast majority of them are dying and going to hell today. This very moment. There are people passing from life to death and they don't know Jesus. And God forbid one day I get up there and Jesus says, do you see him over there? He's about to be tossed down for his sin. But why is his blood all over you? The greatest thing the church can do is lead other people to Jesus. You know what? We'll work on all this. Jesus and God will work on all the other stuff. Our job is to go and to tell. Are you being discipled? Are you at the point in your walk where you can be discipling somebody else? And if you're not, why aren't you? Because that's how we build ourselves up so that we can go out and do this. In a minute, we'll open up the altars. You know what? Do you know somebody that needs Jesus? Don't say you don't. Everybody, I hate this. I don't know any believers. No, you're wrong. You do. You do. You're just not willing to open your eyes to them. If nothing else, you meet them every day in life. You may not know them, but you are still accountable to them. These altars should be packed with people saying, God, put somebody on my heart this week. God, you've already put five people on my heart. These cards, I don't have enough cards for the people you put on my heart, God. Now, we got more. You know, the cool thing about that website is they'll keep sending us more. What if we gave out... What if everybody here, there's 80 to 90 people? What if 90 people gave out five cards? 450 cards went out this week. What if one person came because of them? Yeah. Whew. If one person came, it makes everything else. Reach the one. Yeah. Reach the one. Next week, we're going out. What if instead of just serving them a dinner, what if we sat down at the table with them and we listened to them? We didn't say, hey, do you know where you're going when you die today? Because right now, they're just worried about where they're going to sleep. I can't even begin to imagine what you're going through, but you know what? I know where I came from and I know the compassion God has on me, and so I just want to love on you for a minute. I want to listen to you for a minute. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk over you. I don't want to speak through you. I want to listen to you. You know how Jesus changed the world? He followed His Father. You want to change the world? Follow Jesus. I posted a thing on Facebook today, or yesterday, and it says, and it's an actual quote from another person, but Francis Chan said it, too many times we get satisfied with following Moses and having an experience with Moses when we don't even realize we have access to the same hill that God was on that Moses had an experience with. And we forget the experience of God and we're satisfied with following Moses. Close your eyes. I'm going to pray. And then I want, if you're moved, I don't want you to do this out of just because you think it's going to make you look good. But if you have a burden for someone, today is the day to come forward and say, God, move me with compassion and allow me to hand them, at least if nothing else, hand them a card. God, thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die for us. And God, thank you that He loved us so much. He was obedient all the way to death. God, and thank you for the 12 men that He called that followed Him, even when they didn't understand it and didn't see it and couldn't even comprehend what it would mean to leave everything in their lives, Lord, and follow someone they'd never even heard of, God, in these places they'd never dreamed of going. And yet, 3 years later, those 12 men changed the world. God, if 12 men can change the world, 90 people can change Springfield. And that's what we're calling on today, God. We're calling on you to clear our minds of the clutter, clear our minds of the white noise that the world throws. God, help us not to focus on soccer practice. Help us not to focus on book club. Help us not to focus on all this other stuff that just is taking up space when, Lord, if we'll filter our lives through You, You'll give us the desires of our heart. God, we pray for everybody that's going to receive one of these cards this week. God, I pray for everyone that's going to actually step out and hand someone a card this week. That You would wrap Your arms around them and love them, Lord. Lord, that after they have handed that card out, that they would just feel Your hug and Your attaboy and Your, I knew You could do it and I was with You every minute. Now let's go give another one out. God, for those that receive the card,